Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley here with Real Mentors Radio, and I'm excited about everything that's happening. We had a massive squall come through on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we needed the rain bad. I mean, this was a boatload of rain over a very short period of time, but we've not really had a lot of rain this year, so it's been great. But it threw my cold or red tide, whatever this is, back into a little bit of a relapse. So if I sound like I'm talking in a wind tunnel and coughing, it's because I am, so just bear with me. We're in the last chapter of Kevin's book. Well, not Kevin's book, Brian's book, Brian Thayer. And it's the 1 Minute Networker. Now, I know Brian's got a new book that's going to be coming out. I am looking forward to getting an advanced copy of that so that we can do some stuff on the radio. But this was the 9 Simple Laws of Networking. And today we're in law number 9. We're finishing up this series. Law number 1 was networking happens. Law number 2, scarcity versus abundance. Law number 3, let me think what I know. Law number 4, working the circle. Law number 5, find them and file them. Law number 6, top of the mind. Law number 7, cast your net. Last Friday we had law number 8, the same play. Today, expect miracles. Now, if you're just tuning in, I also want you to know tomorrow we're going to start a new book. This is by a man that most people have never heard of, Michael Frenzy. And Michael, I read his first book many, many years ago. He is the only person, to my knowledge, ever to leave the organized crime, ever to leave one of the 5 families out of New York. He was in the Colombo family. If you've studied the history of organized crime, then you know that old man Bonadonna had retired. He was one of the original 5 family godfathers. He had retired to Arizona, but he did not get out of the business. In this case here, Michael literally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he walked away from organized crime. His story is remarkable, but what I believe I'm going to do, he's got a brand new book out called Insider Business Tips from a Former Mob Boss. He was ranked in the Fortune or Forbes, I believe it was Forbes magazine, listed him as one of the top 50 most powerful and richest mob families back in the 80s. And this is a remarkable story. The reason I think I'm going to do this book over any other is because he says something here that I think is very good. You know, he says that corporate America tells us we need to get an education, we need to get a degree, you know, before we can ever do anything and be successful. But yet he brings up the fact that the majority of organized crime bosses have never had a degree, and they run an empire that's a $50 billion a year empire. He does not make organized crime look spectacular or anything like that. He gives honest-to-goodness business principles that I believe as average, everyday businessmen we can use and businesswomen. So I'm going to be looking to see if I really want to do this book tomorrow. If we do, we'll start it. Otherwise, we'll probably do the flip-flop CEO. It's going to be one of these two, but I'm really leaning towards this one. This man's story is remarkable, and I love supporting people who have had second chances, and by golly, Michael has had that. Law number 9, expect miracles. I love that. I thought that was an awesome title that Brian picked. He has a little thing from Tom Clancy in here. It says, nothing is as real as a dream. The world can change around you, but your dream will not. And I honestly believe if your dreams are built on the purpose that God created you for, they will do nothing but get bigger and get bigger and get bigger. And the bigger your dream, the more life-changing your dream, the better off you are. You will see some wild and crazy things happen. Brian starts his story off. He says, several years ago, I was very busy building a large sales organization. And in the midst of intense activity, we were remodeling our house and I needed a plumber. On the freeway one day, I passed an old rusting pickup truck with a faded sign advertising that the driver was a plumber. On the spot, I dialed his number in my cell phone. I arranged for the work to be done, and while he was working at my house, we chatted about his business. He completed the repairs, and he went on his way. A couple of years later, I saw him again. This time, he was not driving a rusty old truck. He was now behind the wheel of a slick, jet-black Jaguar. Turned out he'd never really liked plumbing and been looking for an opportunity when I met him. Someone gave him one, but it wasn't me. I had looked right past him. Think about that. How many times do we prejudge people, look past people, look down on people? Maybe we even look up at people. And we say to ourselves, nah, they wouldn't be interested. Nah, they wouldn't want to help me. No, they're content in their life. I remember my doctor, Dr. Blunt. He's an MD, very successful, right out of school. He's got a thriving practice down here in Destin. I've watched him go from a one-man trailer of rented space now to having his own building with plenty of nurses, an office manager, a couple of physician's assistants, and a very, very successful spa that he runs. That's a natural spa. He's got some lady that runs that for him. He's not the kind of person you would look at right off the bat and say, oh, I bet he's in network marketing. But yet he has promoted products for a company, several, but for one in particular called Amerisciences. That's a network marketing company that does exclusive and extensive work with NASA. See, that's the kind of person you just fly right by. Wouldn't think about it. We all do this. We have this tendency of prejudging people. In this case, Brian lost a guy that literally was able to turn his miracle, turn his networking into a $12 million deal. In Brian's case, it was a $12 million missed opportunity. See, the thing about networking, if it's done naturally, and you're just a natural networker, you're just somebody that likes to hang out and help people, then you get excited helping other people. I had a situation come up Friday. I received an email from a gentleman, and he said, Troy, I finally found a company. I found a home. I found a team. He said, you've done so much work on 2110. I went over and started looking around at what they had, and I found a team, a family, a leader that I fell in love with. I'm building that business. I thought, man, isn't that a rocking deal? Now, I don't make anything off that, except I feel good. I know that I've helped somebody. I've put them with a good company, good leadership. They found a home. They didn't just quit on themselves. That's called networking. I am a natural networker. I really suck at sales. People laugh all the time because they know I've been in sales since I was 12 years old. Selling is not a big deal to me. Selling is easy. It's just not what I love. I've got no problem getting on the telephone and dialing numbers all day long. I have no problem going out and beating doors. I've done everything, every technique that's available to sales, anything that's been written. I've done my best to buy it, read it, research it. The funny thing is I learned a lot of it in the Marine Corps because what you find out is the more that you dig into military history, the deeper that you want to go into being a warrior, the more you realize that the only thing about sales techniques that different from sales techniques and interrogation techniques is the word sales and interrogation. Mind control is mind control, no matter how you look at it. And that's basically what sales is if you try to go with sales techniques or sales strategies. It's manipulation, persuasion, whatever you want to do. And I've gotten pretty good at that. You know, got real good at it when I was in bounty hunting and all that good stuff. But what I have found is just being a natural networker is the fun part. I sometimes tell people Jesus was the first networker. You know, he went out there and he built a very powerful enterprise, if you would, because that's we're talking business today. He took 12 guys. Most of them we don't even know a lot about unless we dig really deep in history. But he took 12. Three of them became rock stars. One of them became his favorite, and then he still went out and found another one named Paul to take things outside of the Jewish community. And today we have Christianity. Boom. And it's still growing. It's called networking, just natural networking. See, when we look at expect miracles, expecting miracles doesn't come without action. And it took me a while as I was reading through Brian's book and watching the Dolphins play in the harbor. I got to thinking about this. I thought, expect a miracle. Am I just supposed to sit back in my chair, sip on my hot coffee, watching the Dolphins flip around and play and say, I expect a miracle, expect a miracle, expect a miracle? Doesn't happen that way. Brian's first story shows that if you don't take action, if you don't open your mouth and talk, you can expect miracles and they're probably going to pass you right by. Well, what happens when you take action? His second story, Duncan, is about Duncan McDonald down in Texas. Just over 3 years ago, now let me, hang on a minute, let's look at the copyright in this book. I don't want to lie to you about that. Does he even have a copyright? If he doesn't, I'm going to put my name on this thing. I know enough about writing, I can do that. Yeah, there's no copyright on this, so I'm not sure when Brian wrote this book. Trying to look here, folks. Please forgive me. He just doesn't have it in the book. It's in the Library of Congress. But let's just say the last 3 to 5 years, Duncan McDonald down in Texas, he was broke, literally living out of his car. He kept a small file cabinet in the trunk. He used the $3 at truck stops because he couldn't afford a cheap hotel. But he had a dream. He believed in himself. He refused to give up. Duncan writes this. He says, I knew for a fact that whatever my present circumstances, it would happen. I would be wealthy, he says. Looking back on his odyssey from scarcity to abundance, that's expecting a miracle, and he got it. Today, he leads a large business organization and makes well over $1 million a year. Brian goes on, and here's what he writes. While you have to have lofty long-term goals, don't overlook smaller opportunities at your feet today. Folks, I believe if you're expecting a miracle and all you do is sit back and do nothing, it's never going to happen. When you look at Duncan was taking action. He had his files in the back of his car. So even though Brian didn't write it, we know that he was working his business. He knew that he had to make at least $3 a day to be able to take a shower and smell good if he was going to go talk to clients, prospects. And we know in his mindset, he knew that if he just kept going, eventually he would reach it. Now, a lot of us sit back and say, well, that's good for him. There's probably stuff in there, Troy. He just fell into something. It was probably a winner. Somebody was there for him. Hey, that happens to me all the time. You realize I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you guys on the radio show. Oh, sure, I got friends like BK Barreco and Richard Brook and guys like that. I got girlfriends out there in direct selling like Donna Johnson and Donna Valdez and Jackie Almer and Candy May. And boy, I mean, the list goes on. All million-dollar earners, very successful. That's not what trips my trigger. It's these little stories, these little emails I get. I got another email today from a master distributor in a company. He said, Troy, I just resigned. I'm going over here to Beyond Organic to be one of the top 5 founding distributors. Founding or Beyond Organic's run by a Christian man, loves the Lord, has made hundreds of millions of dollars selling his book, and he decided to give that back. He bought some natural organic farms, and he's doing some great, great stuff. I thought, wow, this is awesome to see. See, this is what it's about. It's about giving back. When you expect a miracle, you give back. If you look at the miracles, all of the miracles that Jesus performed in the Bible, let's not take the Old Testament, let's just take Jesus. All of the miracles that he performed were for somebody else. None of them were for him. Matter of fact, when he was taken it. And look, I'm not trying to get overly spiritual here, but listen to the story. Just read the stories. You know, I challenge people all the time. Don't tell me you don't like the Bible. Just go read it and tell me if you find something interesting in it. I don't care if you're Christian or not. It's a great, great read, great historical novel. So if you read all of the stories in the New Testament about Jesus, every miracle he performed was for somebody else. And when you get down to the one area of the Bible where he went out into the desert to pray, and they write in there that the devil came to him for 40 days, and he kept tempting him with stuff, Jesus could have performed all kinds of personal miracles that would have satisfied him. He could have had plenty of food to eat. He could have had all the money he wanted in the world. Talk about sex. I mean, he could have had all the women that were there. And the Bible talks about this. He could have had it all. But yet, every miracle was to satisfy somebody else's needs or desires. So when we expect a miracle, I would challenge the status quo. I would challenge society's get-rich-quick, you know, instant gratification, entitlement mentality of me, 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 with what can you do for someone else? See, natural networking, expecting miracles, as Brian writes here, is about helping to change other people's lives. When you change other people's lives, you are rewarded beyond your wildest imagination. Bill Gates made it easy for you and I to use a computer. Steve Jobs made it cool for us to use a computer. Thomas Edison made it easy for us to be warm in our homes and to have a light bulb and to talk on the telephone. Isn't it amazing? Every miracle that you can think of where people became financially independent, it was to give somebody else something. And we can take this all the way down to the multimillionaire who created the slinky or the hula hoop, so somebody else would have a good time. Every movie that's ever been created was created so somebody else would have a good time. Whether it was a horror movie or not, it was so somebody else would have some type of enjoyment. Kind of bizarre and an oxymoron, I think, but still. Expecting a miracle is a beautiful law. And when you put it in context, it's an amazing thing. Think about your lofty long-term objectives, what you want to accomplish. This is another way I'm going to drive this home. See, in the Marine Corps, we had objectives. We would sit down and we put the plan of action, and our colonels and our generals would bring it on down to our commanders, and they would say, here's the hill that we have to take. Now, we were in training 99.9% of the time. But think about it in practical use. We went in and liberated Iraq. We expected a miracle. We had no idea how long it would take. But we freed a country from tyranny. Now, after that, the debate's open on whether we've benefited or hindered, and I understand that. But every time a U.S. military man or woman lands on foreign soil, they expect a miracle, not so much for ourselves, but for the country in which they're helping. See, it's always about other people. If you want to succeed in network marketing, if you want to succeed in your own business, if you want to be a natural networker. But so many times we miss the miracles. The third story that Brian shares, he says, there's a story about a Pennsylvania farmer in the early 1900s who decided to sell his farm and go to work for his cousin in the oil business in Canada. But the cousin turned him down because the farmer knew nothing about oil. So the farmer began to study the oil business. He read everything he could find about how to find oil, how to process it, how to determine the types and uses. He became an expert. Now his cousin agreed to hire him. The farmer sold his farm, left for Canada to join his cousin. The new owner of the farm, while watering cattle one day, discovered that the previous owner had put a plank in the stream to divert an oily scum that continued to build up near the stream banks. As it turned out, the farmer who spent all that time studying oil had overlooked the presence on his own property, a presence that eventually valued $100 million. He had sold his farm for $833. See, when you're going to expect a miracle, make sure you don't overlook those small blessings in your life. They can be very small and yet have gigantic rewards. I'm going to share a few of my small blessings once I started to learn this. I have a friend of mine at church that we would not know each other had I not moved to Destin 11 years ago and had he not decided to move to Destin just a few years ago. He's a military rep for Dell Computer, does a lot of military work. When we were going to Alabama, he meets with me every Thursday morning when he's in town, and we have great breakfast with our men's group. And as I shared with him what I was going through and the battle that I would be fulfilling, he said, "Can I bless you?" And I said, "Well, sure, man. What? How about if I provide you with hotel rooms? Because I have all these points, and I can do that for you." It was a blessing. Saved us a lot of money every weekend. Just the other day when I had to take Dalton to New Jersey, at spur of the moment, I called Mike. Said, "Mike, I don't have enough points on my card to fly back. Can you help me?" He said, "It's done. Don't expect anything. Don't worry about it, rather. I'll take care of it." I thought, wow. One instance of a blessing. I remember when my time at Ignite 360 was up. I made it public that I was back out. We're going to do some videos and stuff. A good friend of mine called and said, "I'd like to bless you with a free trip, all expense paid, to the DSA conference. There's a group of us that just want you to see the inside workings of what's going on." I said, "Oh, man, thanks." That has been a blessing that it's still going to be paying off for years to come. One of the greatest blessings that ever hit my life was when God gave me a second chance with my woman, my soulmate, Paige. What a blessing. Blessings come in small and large packages. When I had the opportunity to start blogging for books, and I would write about a book and blog about it, and I'd get fresh new books in, I thought, man, what a blessing. It's allowed me to meet so many great authors. When I started working on computers in high school, at Votech, when they were first coming out, what a blessing. Each of my kids, although they've been a pain in my butt, have been great blessings. My mom, years ago, throwing out the TV was a blessing that I never realized till I was an adult, and I've learned the joy of reading in a technology-based world. And I read, and I read, and I read, and I read. Blessings come in all shapes and sizes. I remember one day meeting a little English woman and bringing her into my organization. And just that one lady in my organization earned me well over $50,000 a year. She was making six figures. What a blessing. A man named Don Sherwood, who took me in and taught me how to do construction, to where I was able to remodel my home. I'll be doing some roof work here in the next few weeks. That was a blessing. A young organization named Catalyst, who gave me the opportunity to volunteer behind the scenes and for the last 11 years be able to learn from some of the greatest minds in every industry in the world, has been a blessing. See, each of us, if we look back, we start to realize we are full of blessings, and so many times we miss them. You don't want to miss that blessing. You don't want to find out that you sold something just to find out that it had been a blessing had you just been watching. Too many times we don't watch the obvious. We don't see what's there. And that's what we have to do. Expecting a miracle means that we are looking to see how we can help others. We know that if we want to win, we have to help other people win. Brian says, expect a miracle, plan for the miracle, and watch the miracle happen. See, that's powerful when you think about it. He says something here that I think is very good. He says, a stone cutter may have to strike the stone with his hammer 100 times before the 101st blow splits the stone. The final blow can only be successful because of all the others that preceded it. He doesn't know in advance how many blows it will take to split the stone. Each stone is different. He does know, however, that if he doesn't split or if he doesn't quit too soon, any stone can be cut. Now, I know that to be true. My dad was in the lapidary. I know about this. Little by little, inch by inch, cut by cut, hammer by hammer, blow by blow, anything can be brought down to size. Sadly, we quit too soon. The instant gratification, the I don't know if it's going to happen, the people beside us that say it's not worth it. I sometimes think of what my life would be like had Paige decided it's not worth it. I ponder that. I ponder what life would have been like if I hadn't have made the decision I'm going to make direct selling my passion. I'm going to help others. I'm not going to worry about building some giant organization. I'm going to worry about building the industry, the profession. Where would my life have been? Where would your life be if we hadn't have done these radio shows? I mean, these are questions that when you look at it, expecting a miracle. A miracle happened because you're listening to this show right now. Brian writes this, the toughest part of networking just might be accepting the fact that it isn't always about you. If you remember the very first story in the book about Mr. Straw, each of his trades had to do with somebody else, but at the end, he was the one that became financially independent. See, when we take time to help other people little by little by little, we become financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally independent. That, in this case, called natural networking. To me, it's fulfilling my God-given purpose in this life. By serving others, I win. And as soon as you can grasp that serving others cause you to win, life gets a whole lot more interesting real quick. Folks, tomorrow, you'll be getting emails later today. You'll know what it is that we're going to be doing. But tomorrow, we will be back here on Real Mentors Radio. So until then, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Have a fantastic day. Bye now.